talking of songs and songwriting in a more contemporary sense, I don't know whether you've ever wondered what goes into writing your favourite songs. Australia and New Zealand between them have produced some fantastic songwriters. And we're looking at that in a moment. One of the songwriters who's been interviewed for a book that's just out is Deborah Conway. Here she is. Deborah Conway, and a song that she wrote in London, in fact. She says in the notes on the CD, it's called White Roses, and she says it was inspired by Al Green, who was a big singer in the 70s. He's now a reverend in Memphis. He's got a church there, and you can go and stand in the congregation and listen to the gospel choir. It's just fabulous music, I have to say. However, that's different from what we're going to talk about now. If you wonder what goes into the writing of some songs, where songwriters get their inspiration, and where great songs come from, then a few of your questions might be answered by a recent book that aims to shed some light on the creative process of songwriting. It's called Songwriters Speak, Conversations About Creating Music, and it brings together interviews with 45 songwriters from Australia and New Zealand, people like Deborah Conway, Harry Vander, George Young, Nick Cave, Rolf Harris, all sorts of people. It was written by music journalist Debbie Kruger, and it gives terrific insight, actually, into the lives of our best-known songwriters. Debbie Kruger, good morning.
Good morning.
Where did the idea for this book come from?
Look, I was and still am a voracious reader of books about popular music, whether they're factual accounts of a period in music or biographies or memoirs. And I was most impressed by a book I read in the late 90s, which contained in-depth question-answer-style interviews with American songwriters. And it took me through a whole journey into songwriting. So that book became the main inspiration and catalyst for Songwriters Speak, because I felt, well, we have so many fabulous musical poets in Australia whose stories also deserve to be shared.
Yeah.
Along with that, you know, a lifelong passion for music and a fascination with the magic of song creation.
So were the people that you chose people that you already knew a lot about?
Not necessarily. I drew up my wish list when I first decided to do this, and there were well over 100 names on it. And then it was a matter of whittling it down to a practical number, and even that was 20 more than I ended up speaking to, because I wanted these interviews to be long and in-depth and not the kind of thing you could just read casually in a magazine.
Mm.
So it became, you know, obvious. I mean, as it is, the book, 600 pages. So.
It's a very big book, but they're also deliciously detailed interviews.
Thank you, deliciously detailed.
Did you get any knockbacks just by the way or not?
I got a few knockbacks from key people, and that was disappointing. But by and large, everyone was really, really enthusiastic. The ones who knocked me back were actually mainly really big. I mean, we're talking Barry Gibb, people who were huge, and I got very close but couldn't quite get there. And
he's probably a bit over being interviewed anyway.
Well, it was so close after his brother Morris had passed away, and he wasn't and still isn't talking very much. So it was actually just bad timing in that instance.
Mm.
But, you know, it was very important to get people like Nick Cave, who I admit up front in my chapter with him, I wasn't a fan of, I wasn't familiar with his work.
I thought as an interviewer you were pretty brave to go into that interview and say, I don't know an awful lot about, or I didn't know a lot about you, and I didn't listen particularly to you. That's very honest.
Well, I wanted to be honest with him because I wanted him to understand that I really had approached his work in a very serious way before I came to him.
I must say he comes out sounding like a really nice man.
Well, look, I had so much fun with Nick. I mean, we're almost mates now. We share emails. And I was a Sherbet fan when I was a kid, you know, a Sherbet and Little River Band fan.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say daunted by the prospect of interviewing Nick, but I was very conscious that that man does not suffer fools gladly and that he generally will give a 15-20 minute interview. And I was promised 1 hour max, and he gave me 3 hours because he appreciated where I was coming from. He had read the book that had inspired my book. And it's very rare that somebody just sits down and doesn't hassle him about his drug addiction and his famous love affairs and just says, how do you create? Where does this magic come from?
Yes, and yes. Well, I want 1 hour with Nick Cave next. So next time you email him, would you say, Margaret would love to talk to you on the radio?
No problem.
So I mean, let's take Nick Cave as an example, because he's a very big name in music. music. What did you find out that surprised you from Nick Cave?
Nick is a very funny man.
He writes all those sad songs.
Well, he writes sad songs, but he also writes macabre, gruesome songs. And a lot of his fans have sort of relished in that. But in fact, when you listen to the lyrics of those gruesome songs, they're very funny. His tongue is firmly in his cheek. And his work is very life-affirming. He's a man who's actually full of love. And it's just that he's always had a slightly twisted view on life. But he's never actually been a pessimist. He's never been suicidal.
Do you know, one of the things that really impressed, isn't probably the wrong way, perhaps surprised me, was the discipline that he brings to his songwriting. He goes and sits in his room at night. I mean, it sounded like what a lot of authors say to me. I sit in the room from 9 till 5, and if the muse is there, then the muse is there, and if they're not, then it's a damn shame. But he brings that sort of discipline to songwriting.
A lot of the great songwriters do. I mean, Randy Newman is famous for working that way also.
And he writes pretty good songs, doesn't he?
And certainly Diane Warren, who's, you know, one of the biggest songwriters in America today, she goes to her office at 8 a.m. and works till 6 p.m. and writes songs. Not all the songwriters I spoke to are that disciplined. A lot of them don't write daily and they wait for inspiration.
Is it sort of inimical to the rock and roll lifestyle, do you think?
I think it was early on in the piece. I think now, most of these people that I spoke to aren't so much living a rock and roll lifestyle. They're bringing up families and they're trying to find that balance. And therefore their inspirations are actually quite different. And that's the point in this book. I did take a historical perspective. I wanted to talk to the legends. I wanted to talk to the people whose work has already endured and has proved that it will continue to endure.
And you missed Slim Dusty by a couple of months, I think.
A few months, but his wife, Joy McKean, really wrote most of his big hits and is an absolute national treasure and a fabulous songwriter. But the point is, all these people are still working songwriters. And although they don't necessarily have the same commercial success that they did in the 60s, 70s, 80s, they're still writing and they believe they're writing their best work, and they believe that is because they have more of a balance in their lives.
Did they say to you that they know when they've written a hit?
No, most of them actually don't. A few of them said, look, I knew that this was special. Vander and Young knew that Love Is in the Air was special.
Really? Boy, wasn't it?
Exactly.
You could build a mansion on that probably, couldn't you?
And Neil Finn knew Don't Dream It's Over was a little bit more special. But often they don't. And Paul Kelly said to me, you know, he's often astonished by what he creates and he's not quite sure how he does it, and if he knew, he'd bottle it.
Did anybody know how they do it? Could anybody sort of give, not a formula, but give a sort of a word play on what creates for them a great song or a song at all?
I think those that... Nobody had the definitive answer, and I think they all enjoy the mysterious part of it. But those that actually believe that the songs come from outside themselves, those that believe in a greater power, that they're like a channel, seem to have more confidence in that process. So someone like Graham Goebel, who's from Little River Band, totally believes, and you read this and you think, wow, but he absolutely believes it, that there is a spiritual realm, that there are songwriting angels that bring the songs or bring the solutions to problems he has with songs to him, and therefore he has a lot more confidence in that process.
Do you know, I think that's probably common to creative people generally.
Oh, a lot of them don't. A lot of them poo-poo that and believe that, you know, the songs come from within themselves and it's just a matter of hard work and crafting.
It's interesting. So, it's a really interesting project that you set yourself. Did you come out of it, or from all the listening that you've done, do you think there's, I don't know, one of these days we'll stop asking this question, but whether there's an Australian sort of quality to songwriting that happens in this country?
Overall, I would say not necessarily.
We're not aping the Americans.
We're not aping the Americans, and unless you're looking at the what I call quintessentially Australian songwriters, whether that's John Williamson or even Rob Hurst and Jim McGinney from Midnight Oil, a lot of these songwriters don't set out to sound particularly Australian. But I do believe that there is a common thread. There's something to do with living or growing up in or emigrating to a land far, far away and wanting to succeed even more. I don't know whether that comes out literally in the songwriting or whether that's just a part of the innate creativity that these people have.
Mm. All right, Debbie, congratulations on a work well done.
Thank
and I bet you're glad it's all, you know, done now. It's published this month, I think, isn't it?
Published today.
Okay, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thanks now. Debbie Kruger, whose book is called Songwriters Speak, Conversations About Creating Music, interviews, in-depth interviews with 45 songwriters. It's published by Limelight Press, out today. And there's a double CD compilation of Songwriters Speak available through Festival Mushroom Records. And this is from that CD, a song written in the late 70s by Glenn Shorrock, a big hit for Little River Band.